All right, we're going to call to order the regular session of the Ventura Port District, October 4th, 2023. We'll do a Pledge of Allegiance.
That's over hard.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Brennan.
Present.
Commissioner Rainey.
Present.
Vice Chair Gardena.
Present.
And Chair Blumenberg and Commissioner Stevens will be absent today.
Great. So next up is adoption of the agenda.
Second.
All right. All in favor of adoption of the agenda?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Approval of the minutes is next. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
I was not present at the last meeting, but I did read the minutes, and so I will vote to approve as well. All right, public communications. This is an opportunity for members of the public to testify to items that are not on today's agenda. Do we have any public comment?
There are no public speakers.
All right. So we'll close that public comment and move to the closed session report.
Vice Chair Gardena, members of the board met in closed session to talk about the two properties listed in the agenda, and no reportable action was taken.
Thank you. So, board communications, an opportunity for the commissioners to present any brief reports. None for me either. So we'll now move on to the staff and general manager reports.
Thank you, Vice Chair. I've got a couple of items here from our marketing department to share with the group. October is National Seafood Month. The Harbor will be sharing dishes and imagery to promote our wonderful seafood offerings and fish markets. I saw a banner out between, I think it was between Brophy's and Andrea's this afternoon. Ventura Harbor Village was recognized in the VC Reporter's Best of 23 poll as a top reader recommended attraction for fun for adults and kids. We thank and congratulate our businesses for helping the village make it to the top of the voters list. Several Harbor Village businesses were recognized in the Best of Readers poll as well. Congratulations to them all. This weekend is the Fall VW Car Show on the main lawn on Saturday, October 7th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. with approximately 80 vehicles on display, plus enjoy live music for this warm weather weekend alongside the Village Promenade with the Coco Knots. this Saturday from noon to 3. In celebration of Hispanic Heritage Month, traditional music and dance demonstrations will take place on Saturday, October 14th, from noon to 2:30 p.m. along the Village Promenade, as well with Conjunto Zacamundo and Colombian dancer Alexandra Tracy Chavarriaga. Oh, she gave me a little phonetic spelling there, but I'm going to go with that. That is our report. And happy to take any questions if you have them.
Nope, not this time.
Chavarria, there we go.
All right. So now we are looking to move the consent agenda. First, I'll see if there's any public communications related to matters on the consent agenda.
There are no public speakers.
I'll go ahead and move the item as presented.
A second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And Madam Chair, if I could, I just want to say thank you to staff for taking the time to go and avail themselves of these opportunities to educate themselves and John to educate voters along the way. And originally I was looking going, gosh, why are we paying for John? He's teaching, but I saw that you'll also be getting reimbursed for as soon as you complete the class. So feel 110% sure of voting on this. So thank you.
Great. Moving next to the standard agenda.
Okay, thank you, Vice Chair. So this evening on our standard agenda, we have approval of fee increases for Harbor Village operations. We're going to have several of our managers present their various areas of responsibilities. And so I'm just going to walk through who all is going to speak tonight or be available for questions. And that'll be Gloria with accounting first, Dave Werneberg, who is here this evening. We'll be talking about two areas of fees. Jennifer Taut-London, I think, is joining us remote, but Susan is here with us as well from the marketing department. And John Higgins is here as well, and we'll touch on the Harbor Patrol fees associated with Harbor-related events. So with that, Gloria, I will turn it over to you to present the common area maintenance fees.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm going to discuss the common area fees. The operation of Ventura Harbor Village requires the maintenance of common area use areas between tenants and members of the public, including public restrooms, sidewalks, courtyards, etc. These expenses include items such as general maintenance and repairs, trash removal, janitorial services, lighting, landscaping, public liability and property damage insurance, and staff to implement the maintenance work in these common areas. She's put a chart up on the board for us. You can see by this chart that labor is the most significant expense since the district self-performs most of the maintenance work. This is followed by general insurance and utilities. These common area maintenance costs are tracked throughout the year and then computed and recovered annually on a per square foot basis. The village retail and restaurant tenants pay these expenses as itemized CAM fees as part of their leases. Office leases also contribute to cover CAM expenses, but that is not separated out as an itemized item from their rent. In most cases, these CAM fee rates are subject to change at the start of each calendar year. In 2021, the actual CAM expenses were 70 cents per square foot, and in 2022, they were 74 cents per square foot. Staff is recommending a CAM rate increase to the tenants of 2 cents from 66 cents per square foot in 2023 to 68 cents per square foot for 2024. This represents a 3% increase to the tenant. The requested increase was contemplated and identified in the 2023-24 budget, as all of these rate increases have been. The retail and restaurant tenants were notified that this item is being considered on tonight's agenda. If approved, the impacted tenants will be provided a minimum of 40 to 45-day written notice of this increase. Along with the notice, the tenants are provided a schedule showing historical CAM expenses by category. Questions?
Sure.
And just for this is basically based on the cost of maintenance. It's fully allocated.
Correct. Directly associated with the public areas of the village.
Okay. Just so that the public and everyone knows that this is the cost of doing business, and
yes.
That and I'm glad you reminded us that this was part of the budget process. So it's nothing new.
Thank you.
I could bring up a good point. It doesn't. We're not getting full cost recovery, right? The way I read it, that the cost was, I think, 73, but we're only adding 3 cents on at 68. Is that right? So we're not getting full cost recovery, but I think we're also trying to balance what we can for our tenants at the same time.
That's exactly right.
And we did budget for it, but I do recognize that we're not getting every penny back that it could. We're sort of carrying that a little bit.
One of the things that we've tried to do in the last several years is bring this to the board on an annual basis. I don't know that it had been done every 12-month period of time in terms of a review and a decision. And that's something we've tried to change, where we evaluate it every year as part of the budget and as part of bringing it to the board for consideration. I think that, yes, you're exactly right. We're looking at what we'll call a modest increase. Any increase is additional cost burden to the tenants. But you're correct that it is related to the expense of conducting business there. We're not at a full cost recovery, but we think 3% is a reasonable increase at this time and continues to at least move us in that direction of keeping up with cost.
Yeah, and I did want to say, I think when I first got on this board, there were a few tenants that maybe over the years hadn't really paid a lot of attention and just kind of wondered what their fee went toward. So I think that this has been being both transparent, but also spells it out very clearly. So it helped me tremendously. So I want to say thank you also.
Todd, did you have something additional to add?
Yeah, Brian, I'll also say that it's square foot for leasable area, not necessarily leased. So if the district has not filled a vacancy, the tenants are not making up the loss. So we do actually eat a little bit more of the cost if there's a vacancy. So we're not fully recovering. It's the potential.
Got it. Good point. Good point. Thank you.
I had a process question to make sure that I understood. We approved or approved a budget that assumed this increase in it.
Right, it's anticipated.
Anticipated, but we are required to separately approve the increase, not
Correct.
Just in the budget.
Right. You could say, no, you'd rather us not do it.
Okay, and that's helpful for me to know because it then affects the approval of the budget. So, for example, if we were to say no, it would require a reconfiguration of the budget that was approved in June with the anticipated increase.
It could, or we just be under budget.
Okay.
So,
and I think just for the future, it might be helpful on the budget side to know here's anticipated but need to be approved. This is what the budget would look like if we did, if the board chose not to approve these fee increases versus if we did. So that I would understand at the budget time, this is going to be coming down the pike and this is the effect of potential decisions the board might make down the line.
Yeah, one of the things that the board asked us to do was to identify it specifically within the context of the budget document itself. And so that's something we put in the narrative so that when you are looking at and going through that budget process of those three meetings, that there's an identification of, if you do this, it contemplates an increase.
Yeah.
Which would need to be voted on later in time. And I think that's something that the board wanted to see so that everybody understood during the budget process, if you are considering that approval, if you're considering these fee increases that still require an additional step.
I'm not sure I understood at the time the additional step, so that's helpful. And then I believe there were concerns early on when I was part of the board that these expenses weren't being distributed equitably, or were those other expenses?
I'm not sure that I would say that that's never been true,
okay,
to my knowledge. It may be that you've heard that. I have heard people say that they don't believe that individual items, for example, trash,
okay,
are equally distributed
maybe
based
it was
on
trash.
This. And restaurants do generally have their own fee. Okay. Associated with the output of their restaurant,
mm-hmm.
But this is more common area.
Standardized.
So the trash cans along the promenade,
right?
Emptying the dumpsters.
Okay.
So there's it's nuanced.
Okay. Great. So the tenants have both had an opportunity to know about the anticipated fee increase as part of the budget. They received notice of this particular meeting. Assuming it's voted positively, they'll then receive another 45-day notice of the increase in what it looks like.
Yeah, this would go into effect. Well, I guess in theory, it's even longer than that, right? Because we're looking at a January 1 date for the increase. So it'd be closer to 60 days. And then separately, I believe Jessica sent out a notice separate from the actual board packet advising tenants that this was going to be considered.
Okay. Any other questions for Gloria? Thank you, Gloria.
Okay, I think next up we have Dave Werneberg.
Good evening, everybody. It's that time again, and apparently not just for us. I'm following a lot of email threads going up and down the coast with other marinas going, what are we going to do for this year? A lot of marinas do it the first of the year in terms of rate increases or July 1. So we're getting the benefit of the people that did theirs in July of last year and getting some feedback of what the trends are right now. A lot of it tends to be CPI. Some people are doing CPI plus ones, a couple of people doing CPI plus two. There was one marina that did about a 7% for the regular increases and did a 21% surcharge for dredging, a one-time charge. So I think we're kind of under control as opposed to some of these other places. What we are proposing this year is just a modest 3% slip increase for our wet slips. And last year we did a 5% bump. And it's important to note that we did contact all of our marina tenants. The letter that was crafted by Brian and Todd went either directly to all of our tenants by email or U.S. mail about a week, 2 weeks ago. And we invited them to give us some feedback if they wanted to. They could send the clerk of the board some of their responses, or myself, or they could show up here tonight, or even on Zoom. I don't know whether Jessica's received anything. So I think it's kind of important that we keep in mind that our marina is kind of unique, unlike the Yacht Club, Safe Harbors, Portside. Almost all of our boats are not home ported here. They have residences other place, up in Alaska, down Seattle, down the coast, down to San Diego. And with that, many of our vessels have moorages in three and four spaces, in Half Moon Bay and Morro Bay, down south, Hunteray. So when they have three or four moorages, they're getting the compound effect of everybody wanting to do a 3 or 5% hit. So we've tried very hard to make sure that we keep our rate increases in check, aware that this is, nobody wants rate increases. But the reality is that even our brand new docks that are only a couple years old need and require maintenance on a regular basis. We've all discovered in the past deferred maintenance costs way, way more in the long run. We can document that from our IDOC that we did a couple years ago. Even with the new docks, you have to realize that there's embedded raceways in those cement platforms, and those are carrying power to all the pedestals, and each of the pedestals has 20 foot, either has a 20, you know, 30 amp or a 50 amp, 208. Some of our pedestals have 100 amp, 480. So we have our own kind of electrical grid network buried inside of our docks, along with water to each of the pedestals or to the water bibs. So throughout the year, and just because of the traffic of the boats, the tides, the surges, our platforms go up and down, move sideways, and we cannot let those get out of alignment. And that's what we're now spending about $60,000 a year by budget for Bellingham to come in on a rotation basis. Start here. Next year, we're going to go here and just keep working our way around. We want to get the service life of that 45 or 50 years out of our new docks. And the only way we're going to do that is through maintenance. So even though some of the people going, you know, 5% last year, 3% this year, when's this stuff going to stop? It's not going to stop, because the inflationary measures that we're all experiencing are upon us, and maintenance has to be done. So I think that we're keeping our word to them that we try to minimize our rate increases. And so we're only asking for 3% on our wet slips this year. Now on dry storage, due to the Water Pure Project, which is kind of organized chaos, although it does seem to be going okay at this particular point. And until that project is done, we're just not making suggesting any kind of rate adjustments at this time. We're hoping it's going to be done by early, mid next year, and we'll try to put everybody back in place at that time. My dock master, Rob Weinerth, who is oversees the dry storage and 19A, I think has done an absolute phenomenal job of keeping the chaos somewhat organized. He's worked well with the tenants, he's worked well with the city, and he's worked well with the contractors. So again, no adjustments at this time for dry storage. And ready for questions.
Any questions? Yeah, Brian.
Dave, thank you. And thank you for the staff report. Again, another opportunity to sort of peel back the onion and understand what goes on in the commercial marina. I liked how you referenced other marinas and sort of up and down the coast, because it is special that we it's commercial, very different than recreational. But I was curious, we don't charge for water, and I know most places, some do, some don't. And especially it's interesting because I used to walk the docks and I even thought maybe that was salt water. I see some hoses on some pretty good sized boats just sitting running water. And I don't know if anything spikes or if we have any way of knowing how that works. But as water gets more and more expensive and going to be so, we don't necessarily perhaps have to charge for it, but I'd certainly like to know maybe how we manage it. Or if somebody's just walks away and leaves the water on, we're able to sort of get back to them and say, hey, you got a spike in the water. Can you keep an eye on that? Yeah, or do you have some way of doing that?
We tried to do that. Now, we walk the docks, the dock masters do, on their patrols at least 3 times a day. And if we spot something like that, if nobody's on board, we'll turn the water off. If somebody's on board, we'll say, are you going to be done with this? Turn the water off. And oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I was filling up my tank or something like that. But sometimes it does go.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if we're doing some of that maintenance later on, perhaps the opportunity to put some kind of a measuring tool on there. And I don't know what that involves. I know it's gotten a bit cheaper. And I know there's spikes. There's a lot of software that can go to your phone to tell you when water's sort of gone, or you peg at a certain level, and when it goes over that, I'll let you know. I think we're managing it very, very well. It just seemed like one of those opportunities to maybe we are moving toward upgrading or maintenance. Perhaps we look at that somewhere down the road, because somebody's going to end up stuck paying for the water sooner or later when it gets much more expensive, as it will when Water Pure comes online for the city. And certainly I know Lake Casitas also, those rates are looking to the city to go up. So it's just a suggestion.
Sure. When Ventura Isle did part of their new update over there, they did install water meters on the new ones. I don't know that they're charging yet, but the intent is at some point, especially when it's gone up 10% over the past couple of years or something like that. So we, at one time, were measuring for Island Packers. They're a major user of water. And those meters that John Collins put in way back then have just, they've served their life. They need new ones. We talked about putting in a central meter just for them, and that's probably something we need to revisit. The Spectre dive boat also has like a 300-gallon hot tub on board. So when they finish a dive, people can go into the hot tub and things like that, and they empty that water out and then refill it. So they're also a major user of water.
And I know we want to stay competitive. It just gives us an opportunity to have our finger on the pulse. So guys are doing a great job. Just want to make that suggestion.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you for giving at least me some context, in the sense that normally I would say, hey, you're going to use our slips. You got to pay. You got to bear all of the burden. But when you alerted us that, hey, it's not just here, it's Seattle, it's other areas. You know, you gotta keep the price rational. You've got to make it so that people want to come here. I think that provided me with some good context that this port really, really, really thinks about its customers and puts that into its pricing. So I just wanted to say thank you before I just went with the net. Well, you know, how come we just don't, what will the market bear to, sort of thing?
Yeah, and I appreciate that. We also have the ability, like most of the summer, most of our slips were empty, but they pay, most of these guys pay a year in advance because they will not give up a slip. So the slips will sit empty for some period of time. We will take in other boats, transient slips, may actually pay a little bit higher rate. So we actually are just not getting the slips from our marina tenants, but from our transients as they come in. We had a 96-foot motor yacht that was here for a couple weeks, and it's like, you only want to charge us $500, you know, for 2 days, you know. We go to Newport Beach and they, you know, they see the register ticking away going, oh. So it was interesting. On that particular boat, we had one of our, not Gabby, it was one of the other ones, one of our other female transients dressed in pink, and she boarded the boat at night and said she's Barbie and it's her boat. So we had to deal with that. We had to engage the Ventura Police Department and things like that. So we get them all. And we have about 11 vessels right now on our wait list, and some of these vessels have been waiting since 2019. And they still call and say, am I still on the list? You're still on the list. It's very hard to give up a slip. Even more so now with the collaboration and the combining with the Port Hueneme offloading, that now there's no place to offload. It's either here, going to be down to San Pedro, or you're going to have to go to Morro Bay or Monterey or Moss Landing. And these guys are using, those saners are gobbling up about 25 gallons an hour. And diesel is over $6 a gallon for them. So they want to fish where they can offload. They can't afford to take it down to San Pedro or take it up to Watsonville or Moss Landing, just choose into their profit. So we try to do everything to keep in check and make sure that these guys are good tenants.
Thank you, Dave. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, Dave.
Anything else? Okay.
Okay. Next up, we have Susan Vogt. Are you going to present or tag team with Jennifer? Okay. And for marketing, it'll relate to event fees and user fees for our facilities throughout the harbor. So, Susan, I'll give it to you.
Turn on the mic.
Operations in Ventura Harbor include opportunities for the public to utilize spaces for events, both public and private, and the spaces are managed by the district. These include weddings, gatherings, competitions, and a lot of film and photography. The beautiful scenic backdrop and the spaces that we have outside are make it a popular rental program, and it's expanded over the years to serve a host of community groups, fundraisers, school programs, athletics. We've got churches, car shows, private events, corporate events, and anything you could think of, somebody wants to do it here. So the activities attract thousands of visitors and potential customers to the Harbor Village and Ventura Harbor businesses. So with the proximity to the entertainment industry, we've successfully worked with location scouts to accommodate filming at the harbor, television, video, individual shoots, film shoots, students, We've had programs such as NCIS has been here, I think, three or four times since I've been here. The Bachelor, Reba McEntire, has been here, and more. So as the resurgence of events and films and weddings after the pandemic, we've increased weekly inquiries and applications, and the marketing staff considers both the time spent by the district staff on application review as well as fulfillment of the events. Just since this fiscal year, July 1st, we've had applications approved for 36 events, including weddings and other events. So it's been pretty busy. Inflation and the increased costs facing the applicants and the community groups, our recommendations for fee increases and additions is limited to just three areas. The first, we've added a half day rate of $350 for the use of the village main lawn for up to 5 hours. It's a very popular space for specific utilization, and we have the potential to use it twice in a day, but that doesn't usually happen. But it's the shorter period of time available for people puts it to greater use, I think. So we're implementing that. The second is the row of parking at the end of the main lawn. It's often used by fishermen, and vehicles are left there for weeks at a time. So we'd like to utilize that with events and so on, but it would require additional staff time and reserved and no parking signs posted well in advance in order to notify people that space is reserved for an event. The third item is a slight increase in the last minute film application fee of $175 to $200. Film applications frequently are within 2 weeks of the actual event, and it requires a lot of logistics and making accommodations for their parking and for their vehicles and for the number of people that they're going to have here. And oftentimes, a film day for in that industry, one day in that industry is two of our days. And so so their rates are higher for the use of the same space, because oftentimes they're doing 2 days in one day. So we are looking at increased film use, and that includes the staff communication, quick application and distribution among all the staff. Make sure there's no conflicts, logistics, work orders, permits, and coordination. So we've had, I think, three inquiries on film just since July 1st. So that's about it. Those are the only changes we have. So thank you. Any questions? Anybody have any questions?
Okay. For you?
Just so for context and for citizens looking at this, everything in the blue is where there's a proposed increase.
Yes.
From the current.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
And you went through the basis and the rationale of each. Just a dumb question. On the first one, the half day use, what was it like this year? We're putting it to 350. Proposed fee.
Do you mean what was the increase? Or it was a full day. People rented it for the full day for $500. And whether they used it for the full day or not, they have the option now to do it for a half a day, and that increases, I think, interest and availability to people, because it's a lower rate for the half day, and the lawn area can still be utilized by the general public at the same time if somebody's only using half of it or for half a day. So so I think it should increase the use of it overall.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So just a quick question about the lawn for me, because we've talked about further development of that piece of property. So I'm just curious, or maybe it's just a future state question, how any development might affect event use of that property, given the types of events that might be held there. And so it just popped into my mind when I saw in the report that there's an increase in interest in the main law.
Yeah, so we are in the preliminary design stages now, and you're right. I mean, we would have to look at what the final design would accommodate in terms of ongoing usage. It might actually increase interest because of the kinds of things that we're planning for with stage activities and some of the other continued ability to put booths and so on. Right. So this would take care of the interim period of time for now.
Yep. Okay. All right. No, thank you very much.
Okay. You're welcome. No more questions?
Nope. Thank you. On the same list, you have the Harbor Patrol, and John can explain those and maybe give a little flavor of the kinds of things that Harbor Patrol gets involved in as it relates to these events, which is pretty far ranging.
Yeah, so it was a little bit confusing because of some different information that I obtained. I did a outside survey. Long Beach actually performed the survey, and they were able to take different boating safety groups, LA County Sheriff's, lifeguards, fire department, and they came up with some what the rates are. So I looked at that and kind of did some averages. But one of the things that I'm committed to doing is that if we are going to have a resource out there and personnel, I want to make sure we have the right resources to do the job and that we don't fail the people that we're serving. Typically, in at least the movie industry, they always want the minimum. And they're willing to take a risk, but I'm not willing to put our staff at the risk or let them. So the big difference in this particular one was that we differentiated outside the harbor, which requires two people, so that way I can ensure that we could provide the services that we need to do. If someone needs to hop in the water, there's still someone to operate the boat. And then we identified inside the harbor, which doesn't have as many variables to it, where we could have just a single person. So there's a little bit of difference in there. And in that two-person one, I have to use a full-time officer. So another thing in looking at those comparisons, I identified that we were way low. And with my recent experience working with state parks, they cost everything out. When we contract with another agency, they cost in workman's comp, they cost in raises and things like that. And that's not something that we've done for a period of time. I don't expect that this number will change next year, but it certainly needed to be changed because we were working off rates from some time ago. So in some cases, we were probably losing money.
Questions?
No, just a comment. There's a term we normally use for that. It's called it fully loading.
Yeah.
So that it fully loads, and everybody falls into that. Why aren't our costs being covered? You know, it's like, well, you know, we had three people last time. Now we had six. How come it just didn't double? How come it went more than that? That usually takes time. It usually requires you to see, as you did, Long Beach or the state or someone else on how they did it. And you get better, but it's wonderful to see that you've recognized that and have changed the methodology to reflect those increases. And I think I expect it only to be better. Yeah. So thank you.
And we're not at the top, nor are we at the bottom anymore. Before, we were at the bottom. So that was another thing we take into consideration.
Just a quick question for me, John. I when I look at the event price increases are relatively modest. The price increases at the harbor side, you know, doubled in one case and then went from zero to 1,200 in another. I'm wondering, do you anticipate pushback from people who would use these services?
Will they say, well, last time I was here, it was free? Absolutely. They're always trying to get the cheapest. I won't say, I will say that I'm willing to, and I think the Port District has always taken the stance that if a school group is trying to do an event, they're not going to pay the same amount of money as Warner Brothers Studios, who's doing a movie. So we're willing to be reasonable. So nonprofits, educational, things like that wouldn't have that same rate.
Got it.
But as I mentioned, I think that they got an incredible bargain for a number of years based on my inexperience. Now that I have a little bit more experience, that I have the facts, that I could certainly, you know, show them the numbers and you know, I don't think that they would really have much, but I don't expect it to continue to skyrocket.
Right.
I think we're now at a point that's fair. And then any increases at that point would be modest.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the things that we do for events is that Susan is the intake person for event applications. And then the system we've created maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, it seems like, is a routing system to all of the departments. So it'll go to facilities and Sergio's team. It'll go to John for Harbor Patrol and so on as part of the routing system. And so what I really expect is that whether it's John or facilities, Susan will get a good sense of how big the event is, how many participants, how many cars, maybe we have parking issues to deal with. And it may be an on the water event that might need Harbor Patrol. So John will look at it from the perspective of Harbor Patrol and make a determination as to what assets he needs to properly staff the event. If it does require on the water, off the water, et cetera. Sergio would do the same thing relative to his staff's needs and determine, okay, this is going to be an event, you know, in the village. It's going to be this many people. We need to put up parking signage, you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah.
And the rate will never go above what this is, but it can always
go
down.
Go below.
If we had it at a lower threshold, we couldn't go above because that's our rates.
So. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Also, may I chime in for 1 minute? It's Jennifer. Good evening, Vice Chair and Commissioners. I just want to go back to something that Commissioner Rainey asked, which is a great question, and that was in regards to the main lawn half-day use. More recently, we've reactivated the main lawn, and there's so much excitement about using this space that we had just publicized a full-day rate. Now we've really found that the half-day rate is something that people are really looking to for us to offer, and we started seeing if that was about the right range, and it seems to be a good comfort spot, and a few people have paid that, and now we'd like to officially publicize that rate going forward and have that as an option on our forms, just to clarify.
And I just wanted to add also that frequently, in fact almost always, before an application is submitted, I get a phone call regarding an event, and we'll ask the questions of find out what their needs are and what they actually want to accomplish. And a lot of times they don't know what they need and they don't know who they need. And when I'll determine that in the phone conversation and then get their application, so that before I even circulate the application, I know what departments and who's involved. And, you know, if Harbor, I'll call John and find out, is there anything I don't know about this before I get the application and before I tell them they can do it. So so a lot of times there's pre-application
screening,
vetting of a lot of the events.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you.
I know Todd had one comment as well. I think clarification on the nonprofit versus public service. So go ahead.
Yeah, exactly that. I don't know that nonprofit is really the word I would use to categorize that.
Yeah.
We're talking about a public safety service versus a safety service provided for, you know, a business. And I think that's where John would have the discretion to say a school event.
Right.
That's a public service, a safe public safety service that we would provide at any time anyway. We just need more staff to carry that out, and he would have the latitude to say that's not where this would apply.
Yeah, thank you.
And I think that is an important clarification, because we do have a lot of events that happen every year that are put on by nonprofits, but they do get charged the event fees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct.
There's discretion given to the staff. Great. Any other questions from the board? Okay. I want to give an opportunity for any public comments related to standard agenda one.
Yes, I have Bert Handy on Zoom.
All right, wonderful.
Bert, I have, you're able to speak?
Good evening, board. I was trying to get a hold of the issue with the water information on the new dock fees. Before I was at this meeting, I was listening to the State Water Board, and they are actually really clamping down on everybody very, very hard in regards to water. They're establishing use for the individuals. It's 55 gallons per day per capita. They're running it down to 47 as of 2025, and they're also going down to 42 as of 2030. They're also starting to go on outdoor water usage on everybody, and they're starting to track a lot of things. I believe that the district should really evaluate their water usage by their customers, because you could be paying some fines on that if you don't address the issue early and in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that comment. All right. Any other public comments?
There are no other public speakers.
Do I have a motion for the approval of fee increases for Harbor Village operations?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any other matters for the committee? All right.
No, Madam Vice Chair.
Right. We want to adjourn tonight's meeting in honor of Senator Dianne Feinstein, who served the great state of California in a myriad of ways, most recently in the Senate, and it's a great loss for the state, for the nation, and just a real role model for what it means to be a public servant.
A great friend of dredging, a huge advocate for dredging and commercial fisheries in California.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. We're adjourned.